Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Yep.
Good evening. I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
And we're D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We had a little bit of a computer glitch there, so we're starting just a little bit late, but no biggie. We're here.
And we have a lot of news.
Oh, my God. Like what a week.
Weekend update.
Weekend and week. Feels like 2 years.
Yeah, right, right.
Christmas and New Year's. It's like, what day is it? Yeah. So New York State started their legislative session today. And interestingly enough, usually the first day of session is just an ego-boosting, I'm going to do this, and we're so great type of session, but they already assigned some bill numbers.
Yeah, besides ordering, figuring out what's the best pizza parlor close to the state house.
Yeah, so what they did was Holliman, who really is one of the worst, Brad Holliman, he sponsors most of the bad bills.
Right.
Out of our legislation. And he put a bill in today that was introduced for colleges. Colleges have to be vaccinated against the CV virus. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the many. And, you know, we're friends with several of the senators and assemblymen in New York State. And basically what I was told in layman terms was, be prepared. This is not going to be a fun session.
Yeah.
For us.
Especially since they've got super majority in both houses. They've got the governor. They can pretty much do whatever they want.
Yeah. They're going to be on the warpath, unfortunately. So something to keep an eye out. And if I see anything else during the show, I will definitely interject it. But nothing else crazy that I know of. But I do know that there's a big rally in Albany on January 10th. Sponsored by the Children's Health Defense. Rallies are great for camaraderie. Do they work? I don't know.
If you're a Democrat, they work.
Yeah.
They never
seem to have them, though, which is the interesting thing.
Well, the joke is you could have 10,000 Republicans out there, like they had, 14,000 protesting the SAFE Act and left the place cleaner. There wasn't a gum wrapper, compared to... At the same time period, you had the 1% in New York City that, they were defecating on the sidewalks. But anyway, the joke goes that you could have 10,000 Republicans out there demonstrating, and it's like they're invisible, but you could have 10 Democrats out there demonstrating, and the next day they're passing bills.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting year there. Some other information about New York. We could talk about the country in its entirety all night, but we won't bore you with that. But I guess they busted enough, I guess they busted, and they busted $72 million. 72, enough fentanyl to kill 72 million people was seized in New York. That is, that's astronomical.
Yeah, and, yeah, I saw a video on the tunnels that they've got, these sophisticated tunnels that they've drilled 25 feet underground, going like a quarter mile. Supposedly, they're coming from Canada into New York State, too, which I find hard to believe because you got to go underwater to get to New York State from Canada.
Mm.
But, you know, if it's along the
or maybe
north,
some of their pedophile human trafficking tunnels, who knows?
Yeah, you know, but if you go along North Dakota or something like that or Wyoming, you know, where there's just, you know, border, there's no rivers, you know, the St. Lawrence Seaway or Lake Ontario or Lake Erie separating New York from Canada, you know, that would be a little bit of a tunnel.
That's insane. And you know, my girlfriend, Justine, she made a comment, which I thought was kind of it was really truthful and sad. She said, that's all right because we have Narcan for all of it now.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, New York State is just, you know, people say, what can we do about this? What can we do about this? And, you know, it's on such a much bigger level, you know, and I think our guest, Diane, is going to probably get into some of that, too, because it's just not New York State, you know, that we need to be keeping an eye on. We're going to bring her on shortly. So some other politicians want to make a new attempt to ban supplements. So I guess we should now stock up on our supplements. Last week it was homeopathy that they want to go after. Now it's supplements. You know, and here's my take on it, and I'm pretty sure I'm not off base. They don't want supplements. They don't want homeopathy. They don't want things that work because there is money in sickness, not wellness.
Right.
And if the FDA can get their hands in this, then they can get rid of these. They're saying more than 41,000 nutritional supplements they want off the shelves. And, you know, these are things that are proven to help people. And if they get rid of them, then people have to rely on their big pharma, which is what they want, right?
You know, and supplements are like, you know, your multiple vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin E, you know, red yeast rice, fenugreek, you know, just all these things that you buy over the counter at the vitamin stations at the store.
Yeah, and what's sad about it is, and I know this for a fact, there's companies like Bayer, Nestle, Procter & Gamble, and these are all genetically modified companies. They use junk in their stuff, and they've been buying up the supplement companies. You know, I know they bought up, like, Annie's Organics. There's some, you know, of those companies that have sold out, you know, to these big companies, and, you know, my suggestion would be is definitely stock up, you know, while you can. And I got to tell you, I was in Whole Foods today, and, you know, we all knew this was coming, the shortages, the price increase, the inflation, but they were out of, and usually Whole Foods is one to be pretty well stocked, considering that they're owned by Amazon and, you know, they have the inside scoop, but they were out of a lot of stuff.
And you said that everybody was wearing masks there, too, huh?
Probably 75% of them, yes.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy,
too. It just doesn't end.
Yeah.
It doesn't end with the mask thing.
Well, remember, you told me yesterday, I think, about the woman that was double masked.
Yeah.
Wearing gloves.
Yeah. And she was waiting at a pharmacy, and I had just overheard her say that, you know, I'm here for my vaccine. And she had a double mask on, gloves, and I'm thinking, oh, God, she's just beyond. But I will always try, and I'll always say something, and I looked right at her, and I said, don't do it. And she kind of gave me the blank woke stare, and she's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, don't take it. And I just looked at her, and I said, died suddenly. I go, look up the documentary. And that was all I said, and she just kind of looked at me. So she wasn't, like, sassy or anything. She was kind of like, I feel like she wanted to ask me more, but I wasn't going to do it. You know, I just wasn't going to do it. I was going to say just, and you know, and I hope she looked it up. I don't know.
But the best was, and I'll never forget this, I wish there was someone else in the car with me that could have taken a picture. I just couldn't drive and do it at the same time. Here I was driving down the highway. There were three people in a car. All of them were wearing masks. They had the windows open, and they had plastic separating the driver's side from the passenger side, and then the front and the back seat. You know, so, and how this plastic wasn't flopping around going in front of the driver's eyes, I don't know. They must have really had it taped up well. But, you know, so the car was like in quadrants where, you know, you couldn't breathe the same air as the guy next to you or behind you. And it was just hilarious. It was the most extreme garbage I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And I don't think that, you know, I think the people that are doing it just aren't going to stop. But on to the next subject before we bring our guest on. Obviously, the big thing that happened in Buffalo, New York this week was the Monday night football game. And Hamlin, who perfectly healthy, 24-year-old athlete that supposedly got hit in the chest and caused this quote-unquote rare cardiac arrest. Now, how many, I think it's, what happened to that article that I sent you of the amount of, you have it from the Epoch Times there, right?
Yeah.
How many athletes are just suddenly, you know, and in my 51 years, and I'm 51 years old, Dean is older than that, I don't ever recall these massive amounts of athletes that are supposed to be in tip-top shape have these problems. Right?
Yeah, here's one. Alarming number of sudden cardiac deaths in U.S. athletes following the vaccine.
Yeah, it's something like 700, and I think in the U.K. it's like 1,500.
Yeah,
or
in Europe, in the EU, it's something like 1,500 that they've documented. And, you know, that's where that documentary that Diana and I watched, what was it called, Sudden Death? Or
Died Suddenly.
Died Suddenly?
Yeah.
Was just... You just, it's worth the hour and 10 minutes to watch. It really, really is.
I thought it was only 50 minutes. But either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can get a hold of that. I guess there's another movie that's free today and tomorrow. Catherine was telling me about, I have to Google it, about the chemtrails. And I'm trying to get somebody on our show that's very well versed in the chemtrails. I'm working on that. But, yeah, so anyway... I'm not buying it. I'm not buying their diagnosis. I'm not buying it. If you look at the pictures of this hit of this football player, he got smashed in pretty much his right shoulder. He got up, he stood up, and then he fell backwards. And, you know, God bless his heart. Either way, you know, we hope for his recovery, but they're not telling the truth here. They're not doing it. And the news has blasted people saying, you know, there's no way that this was caused by this. It's not caused from the vaccine. This is misinformation. Well, they have blasted that fact of it's misinformation. It's every, like, hour on the hour, there's an article, new article coming out.
Right.
Talking about how there's no way that the vaccine causes. I mean, if it wasn't, why do they have to keep pushing this? It's like, okay, say it once and stop pushing it. But,
you know
somebody's lying here.
And, you know, going back to what Diana said, you know, I'm a little older than she is. And, you know, I went to the University of Maryland, and I remember Len Bias, you know. But he had a very, very rare blood disease that black people have. And he died in a pickup basketball game, you know, about a month before he was getting drafted into the NBA. And, you know, it was very tragic, but it was, you know, because of a condition that he had.
Right.
You know, but all of a sudden you've got high school, college, pro athletes dropping dead from heart attacks.
Exactly.
Come on, you guys. You know, that just doesn't happen.
And I just want to go back, and there was an old post article from ESPN. And it was back in 2021 when they were going through all of these vaccine mandates for the football players and for the, you know, the major league teams. And the Buffalo Bills GM, he came out and he said that his priority was to reach any vaccination threshold to be able to keep some sense of normalcy in the football game. So in other words, I want everybody vaccinated. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, you know, right underneath it, it talks about how Buffalo Bills Hamlin collapsed on the field in critical condition. And that game has been postponed indefinitely right now. So I'm not sure, you know,
yep.
what they're gonna do with that. But between the blizzard and this, Buffalo's definitely made some pretty interesting headlines.
Yep. And then this is one that we touched on, but there's actually another Epic TV movie about it or whatever. The self-spreading vaccines, the transhumanist ideology, and government gag orders.
Yeah.
The new technocracy threatening Hippocratic medicine and the Nuremberg Code.
Yeah.
And this is Dr. Aaron Carity.
Well,
so,
I mean, the self-spreading vaccines, we're talking about the spike protein and, you know. I mean, I saw something absolutely ridiculous today that somebody posted in one of our group chats. I guess they're coming out with the first vaccination for bees.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what?
You said that to me.
What? I mean, it's just the crazy. Oh, here, USDA approves world's first vaccine for honeybees. I mean, just stop it. You know, stop it. It's just so just crazy stuff going on in New York State, crazy stuff going on in Congress right now. They can't seem to get their Speaker of the House elected.
Yeah, it's gone, eight rounds so far, maybe nine, and it hasn't done that in over 100 years. You know, Kevin McCarthy.
I think he's up to 10.
He's got the same number of yes votes now as he did the first round. You know, maybe it's time for him to step aside. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy stuff, though. Totally crazy stuff. So I think maybe Diane might want to mention that in her travels here. But I'm honored to have our guest on tonight. She was with us. Boy, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Maybe over the
last
summer.
Spring or, yeah.
Definitely before election. And she ran against Chuck Schumer.
Right.
For Senate. And she has not given up. This woman is so dynamic and so smart. You know, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of different things, and we're not just talking about New York State here. So we're going to bring Diane on. She's running for Senate in 2024
mm-hmm.
against Christian. I always
Gildebrand.
Say Christian. Kristen Gildebrand. I can't,
yeah.
For some reason, can't get that name out ever. But,
well, you know, lapdog Gildebrand.
Right.
You know,
maybe.
Chucky's lapdog. You know, to give you a little history, she was a moderate congressperson from Saratoga Springs. So when Hillary went to run for president and could no longer run for Senate again, it left a seat open. So Cuomo appointed her to be the senator. Well, you know, she was a moderate and everybody was cheering and stuff. So she gets with Chucky and all of a sudden she pulls a Kathy Hochul and goes far left. So now we've got, thank God, we've got Diane to run against her. And Diane, you should be able to talk. Do you hear us all right?
Yes, I do. And thanks very much for having me. It's great to be with you guys again.
Yes, and
I would like what? Go ahead.
Oh, it's an honor for us too. I just want a gentle reminder that we're on live radio, so there is a slight delay, and we do commercials at 8 and 8:30. So we have a few minutes before we have to go to our first commercial. So maybe you can just give a synopsis of kind of where you are.
And you could
sure.
go ahead and plug yourself. You know, tell us, you know, your website. Tell us your Facebook page. Tell the listeners how to give you money. You know, you're allowed to do all that.
Great. Well, I appreciate that, and I definitely need the funds. I can assure you that George Soros is not giving me money. I'm what? And I'll be having an event on Zoom on January 8th, but people can only, it's not going to be live streamed. I do a Friday night symposium every Friday night at 7:30 on, that's live streamed on Facebook and YouTube. But the Sunday event at 2:00, which people can find on my website, fair, S like Sam, A-R-E for Senate.com, is going to be a policy discussion because we literally are about a millimeter from thermonuclear war, not because of Putin, but because of the total insanity of the Western leadership, their duplicity and lies. And we can get into that. And so who will be joining me, I'm happy to say, is Colonel Richard Black, retired, actually Judge Advocate General for the Army, but and former state senator. And Scott Ritter, who people in New York may know, former UN weapons inspector, who got in a lot of trouble for saying there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Helgut Sepp LaRouche. And Steve Starr, who writes for the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. So the first part of this meeting on Sunday is going to be on the strategic crisis. My friend Steve Starr is going to talk about what actually happens in a nuclear war. We may have, I don't know if I discussed this with you or if it had been released, but you probably saw the absurd public service announcement put out by New York City's Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, yes.
Or emergency, you know, just if there's a nuclear blast, just go inside and close the windows. Don't hang out in your car. And if you happen to be outdoors when the blast hit, like you're not going to be incinerated, right? If you happen to have been outdoors when the blast hit, go inside and make sure to remove your outer garments and put them away somewhere because the clothing might be radioactive, and stay inside and listen to the radio. I mean, that is not what happens, and I can't even imagine the purpose. My campaign coordinator actually called the city and asked them, is this a joke? This is a joke, right? And they said they got really offended and nasty and claimed they had done a lot of research, which I don't know who they were asking. So we have...
they've done on the vaccines. And yeah, I think that was like about a 2 or 3 minute video. And I mean, the amount of text that I got about that, I mean, people were terrified. It really put a string of fear into people.
Right. Well, Tulsi Gabbard often talks about, you remember a few years ago when that missile alert went off over Hawaii and everyone got these alerts on their cell phones that there was a nuclear or some other missile headed their way, and she said people were putting their children inside of manholes, and you realize that there is no protection, there is nowhere to go. We aren't that far from that because people are so delusional. And I like to use the example of what happened in 2016, where Hillary Clinton had her 17 intelligence agencies all lined up to steal the election, first stealing the nomination from Bernie Sanders and then stealing the election overall. And they didn't, they just thought they had everything under control. They didn't have to pay attention to what people thought. And Trump won. And everyone remembers fondly all the news anchors who were crying, and the New York Times had this whole special edition with some advertising some Netflix show about the Queen, and it says she rules or something like that. And they had to they just all had egg on their face. Well, you can't do that with Russia, with a nuclear superpower. And the British have just now said, oh, don't worry about Putin's red lines. Well, he said he had red lines in December. Biden, NATO, the UK ignored them, in fact, used them like a roadmap. Putin said Ukraine has to be neutral. They can't have nuclear weapons, and that I will not tolerate ethnic cleansing of the Russian-speaking population in the Donbass. 14,000 people had already been killed there. So what did the West do? They said, oh, well, Ukraine can join NATO. Sure, we'll discuss Ukraine having nuclear weapons. Oh, and by the way, and they began shelling Donetsk. This is what they don't cover in the press. They dropped 1,600 shells on the capital of Donetsk in one day.
Wow.
And then Russia's, yeah, and no one hears about that, right? You have hundreds of children there who have been killed by the Ukrainians, by the regime we just sent, $100 billion to or whatever. Yeah, $100 billion we've sent them so far.
And
that's more than the – what?
And more on the way.
Yes, right? And this is more than the entire Russian defense budget, what we have sent to Ukraine. The most corrupt regime in the world with a head of state who, you know, does skits where he plays the piano with his you-know-what and dresses up in drag and God knows what else. I mean, a really psycho egomaniac who doesn't care, who's perfectly happy to have every last male in their country killed in order to be a proxy against Russia so he can have a big mansion or whatever. I mean, it's just hideous. So I think that there is, we're about to go to the ad, but I just would say the fight for the Speaker of the House, I am really glad there is a fight. There should be a lot more fights in the Congress because if we were going to become a total dictatorship and start a nuclear war, it would be a horrible thing if everyone just quietly marched down that path. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all that there is a fight. And it wasn't uncommon in history for there to be multiple votes at various conventions when they used to actually have conventions where you didn't know who the nominee was before you got there. this didn't used to be so uncommon, but now we're in a police state and everyone has to be in unison. So people are trying to say it means that the Republican Party is in disarray and the Democratic Party is unified. And I suppose the Democratic Party is unified because they're sort of in lockstep.
Yep, and they've always been unified and lockstep, as you said. But, you know, to me, it's also a good thing because, you know, I'm pretty far to the right, and I don't think Kevin McCarthy's far enough to the right for me. And there's been reports that he's met with AOC and the squad and trying to, you know, get some deals going with them. And, you know, any deal with them is just going to be real to the left. So, you know, so try to get their votes. And it's like, come on, you guys. You know, have your principles. So.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about it, and we're going to talk about some of the things that you sent me that you want to talk about when we get back from commercial.
Good.
Are you all right to hold on?
Sure.
Okay, and then we had some questions that were sent in through email, too. We're going to get to those. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We're going to pay our sponsors. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in four.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your governor speaking.
Today's training evolution, dogfighting, taking on the corporate media.
The rules of engagement are as follows. Number one, don't fire unless fired upon, but when they fire, you fire back with overwhelming force.
Does it say that in the bill?
I'm asking
you to tell me what's in the bill.
Number two, never ever back down from a fight.
If I could complete the question, though.
So you're going to give a speech or ask a question?
Number three, don't accept their narrative.
It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts.
It's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
When the enemy comes into your life like a flood, stand your ground and take your sword out in Luke 10 and go eyeball to eyeball with him and tell him, I have been given the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Stand your ground. When he tries to use one of his main tactics, which is fear, tell him, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stand your ground. When he thinks you're down, tell him, I'm not down, Satan. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stand your ground. When he tells you you're a loser, tell him, I am the head and not the tail. When the enemy comes after you, tell him, Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stand your ground. When he whispers in your ear and tells you you can't do this, throw Philippians 4:13 to him. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand your ground.
Please check out our sponsor, Save Around.
Save Around Coupon Books have been with us for several years, and they help you save money when going out to eat, renting a car, buying flowers, and all kinds of other good stuff. The good thing is you can view the coupon books before you buy. Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.com, and click on the Save Around book that you'll see right next to our chat room. Like I said, you could preview it before you purchase, and hopefully you'll save yourself some money and help us as well. Please check it out.
My fellow Americans, it looks like some things have changed. Are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents?
If you want an abortion, get one!
Younger parents aren't sure that an appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
When I drive into a neighborhood and there are American flags, it's a message of white supremacy.
I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that could result in an erosion of the American spirit.
We need to completely dismantle the police department.
If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is free, and freedom is special and rare. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. As long as we remember our first principle and believe in ourselves, the future will always be ours. Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people are free. Once you begin a
Okay, we are back.
We're back.
So anyway, Diane, you know, you were talking a little about nuclear war and stuff, and, you know, I grew up in the 60s, I'll admit it, and I remember the drills where we went out in the hallway and get up, you know, put our heads down between our knees in front of our lockers. But, you know, back then there was the sanity between the Russians and the Americans. You know, the mutually assured destruction that in the end nobody was going to press the button. Well, a bunch of years ago.
Well, you had Kennedy, right? I mean, I would say, I don't think it's going out on a limb to say that President Kennedy was a much different person than Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've said this for quite a few years now, you know, for several years, that, you know, here John F. Kennedy, the Messiah of the Democrat Party, if he were alive today, he would be a right-wing extremist. He believed in borders. He believed in national defense. He believed in a balanced budget, and legal immigration. So, you know, those are all pretty, you know, far-right ideologies in this day and age. But about 10 years ago, I read a book called 1 Second After, and that is a more believable scenario than a nuclear war. Basically, you know, you've got the Koreans that have the rockets, and you've got the Iranians that have the payload, the nuclear thing, and all they have to do is shoot three nuclear bombs and have them explode about 10 miles up, one over the East Coast, one over Middle America, and one over the West Coast. It'll knock out our infrastructure, and here we are back in the 1850s. They're predicting if this happens, 90% of the people in the United States would die within the first year because nobody's prepared. Nobody knows how to grow their own food or hunt or do any of those good things anymore. So with that, that's my little words of wisdom. I'll hand the ball over to you.
Well, if you had a strike with the kind of weapons we have, one problem is because of the very short response time, and because what Biden apparently has now used this word, this language, disarming strike. So Putin has said, well, deterrence, we have nuclear weapons for deterrence. Russia actually has in writing no first use. They say it is in written treaty, you know, official papers, our nuclear arsenal is a deterrent. We would only use it if our very existence were threatened or a nuclear attack. You know, it's very clear. The U.S. has this kind of really ambiguous language about, well, we reserve the right if we think there might, we can do a preemptive strike. And now they're saying a disarming strike. So Putin has said, well, if you're talking about trying to knock out all of our abilities to respond, since our whole arsenal is dedicated to the responding strike to stop you crazy people from launching this, we may have to reconsider what we're talking about. We may have to go to first strike. I mean, this is what's now being said. It's so, and worse, what just came out, you may have heard that, of course, in 2017, the 2014, the Obama-Biden administration overthrew the elected government of Ukraine. We put a bunch of pro-Nazis in there, people who idolized this guy, Stepan Bandera, who killed hundreds of thousands of Jews, Russians, Poles. It's become a little source of conflict between Ukraine and Poland because the Ukrainian parliament has a big – Bandera's birthday is January 1st, so they just had big commemorations of this Nazi who killed hundreds of thousands of Poles. So the prime minister of Poland had to say, wait a minute, you know, we cannot support this. We don't want to support a government that supports this. At any rate, we overthrew – so under Obama – and Biden, we overthrew the government of Ukraine and put in a government which has large pro-Nazi formations. And when Zelensky won, see, it's interesting because, well, he can't be Nazi. He's Jewish. He is Jewish. He also speaks Russian. And he was elected with a huge majority because people thought he would actually support peace, because after we installed this pro-Nazi government in Ukraine, areas of Ukraine which were not pro-Nazi or Russian-speaking or were being persecuted said, hey, we want autonomy. We want to still be allowed to speak Russian. And so a war was going on, and this region called the Donbass, the regime in Kiev kept shelling these people for 8 years, from 2014 to 2022. They killed 14,000 people in this region. No one ever talked about that. And finally, they said, we really want to join Russia. And Putin said, no, no, no. You should go with what was called the Minsk Accord, Britain, France, Ukraine, Russia. We're having talks where the Ukrainian government was supposed to stop shelling, give this region sort of autonomous special status. They could speak Russian, but they would still be part of Ukraine. And Putin refused to admit them in Russia for 8 years. He said, no, we're going to make this peace process work. Well, what Angela Merkel and now François Hollande, the former president of France, have just publicly stated is that the entire Minsk Accord process was a lie, that they were only pretending to support peace. What they were really doing was training 27,000, 50,000 Ukrainian troops to go to war with Russia. So imagine what Putin is thinking. And he had a meeting with mothers and wives of the soldiers apologizing, saying, I should have gone to war in 2014. I should not have believed this. We should not have allowed those 14,000 people to be killed. This was a terrible mistake, and what I have learned from this is there is no one in the West that you can trust. You think you're negotiating a peace, a deal, and they are lying to your face and preparing for war on you, but trying to keep you pacified by thinking there's a peace process.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and I feel that with every ounce of my being. I feel like there's so many distractions with a lot of nonsense that people really don't really see what's going on, and if they do, because it's such a scary thing. It's like a form of denial, right?
Yes, because people feel then very small, and they say, well, what can I do about nuclear war? I mean, I can't change Biden, and I don't know who runs Biden because he surely isn't running himself, and what about Putin? You know, what control do we have? And see, this is why I think the question of the Kennedy assassination files is so urgent. And probably a lot of people listening to this show, and you may have seen what Tucker Carlson did, which I know Robert Kennedy said was the most powerful program on the assassination of his uncle that he had ever seen. Because what Tucker did is he said, well, that, of course, the files were all supposed to be released in 2017. There was an act of Congress in 1992. Very important because that act of Congress came about as a result of a movie, Oliver Stone's film, JFK, The Power of the Population. There was a popular uprising and people said, we want these files. And the Congress was too gutless or had too many ties to the CIA. So they said, okay, 25 years, all the files will be released. We got legislation passed. So in 2017, they were all supposed to be released. And now we know it was Mike Pompeo who prevented it. He refused to go on Tucker Carlson to say this, and Carlson reported that his source, who he wouldn't name, said there were government agencies, and of course, right, involved in this assassination, which in effect was a coup d'etat. And I really have seized on this because if we're going to get off this trajectory toward nuclear war where we are headed, there has to be a basis for negotiations. But if you have demonstrated that you are thoroughly untrustworthy, that you are a total liar, you cannot expect that there will be negotiations. And the danger right now is that Russia has come to the conclusion there is no one to negotiate with, so they are simply going to have to win militarily. So they've called up 1.5 million troops. And they're just going to march in slowly. They could have leveled Ukraine in 6 days if they wanted. You know what Russia has. I mean, the whole idea they wanted Ukraine and they were going to, it's all crap. But anyway, they're going to methodically go through and win and force a military solution. Except here's the problem. The British, the U.S., and NATO have said, no, Russia can never be allowed to win. Well, Russia has the overwhelming force, the overwhelming numbers. We're saying we're not going to give Ukraine, you know, certain kinds of weapons because we supposedly don't want a nuclear war. Well, how are we going to stop Russia from winning then? I don't know. Nuclear war, biological war, chemical war? There is no way to stop Russia from winning unless you cross some horrifying threshold of annihilation. So this is why we have to create the conditions for negotiation, but you can't negotiate unless the U.S. becomes trustworthy. Well, one reason we're not trustworthy is we had a coup. We had a president assassinated, and we never bothered to find out who did it. And
or
we
why.
Let the people who did it, right, and the people who did it arguably have been running the country ever since. Well, how do we know? Well, let's see. The Warren Commission report required a bullet that went in about 7 different directions and hit, you know, 2.5 people. So that was a cover-up. And then since it got covered up, we had Malcolm X killed, Martin Luther King killed, Bobby Kennedy killed, the Vietnam War. Then we had another big coup, the 9/11 attacks, which anyone in their right mind will tell you that some guy sitting in a cave in Afghanistan with kidney failure, namely Osama bin Laden, could not have orchestrated on his own the kind of takedown of security that would have been required. And how was it that the family members of Osama bin Laden and the Saudis got to fly out of the U.S. the next day unhindered, but no one else could get on an airplane?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
We have to get to the, in other words, if the American people say, you know what, we will not tolerate this anymore, there's too much at stake, we have to get our nation back, we are going to force that we get to the bottom of this, we want the files on this, that would then be a basis for the world to trust us, because you can't imagine how many people I meet. I do a lot of interviews all over the world, and people say, you know, we like the American people. They seem to be so normal. They seem to be so normal. What is going on? How is your? They just can't get it.
Well, you know, I'm 100% Greek, and I've been to Greece three times. I'm first generation, so I've got relatives, cousins in Greece.
Wow.
And the times I went there, the people, they love the American people, but they hate our government.
Yeah.
That's the way it was explained to me.
American people and our government.
Yeah. But, you know, what's interesting, you talk about Kennedy being a coup d'etat. I saw a documentary a few years ago about Lyndon Johnson. Now, here he was the Senate Majority Leader, you know, the second most powerful person in the country, and he gave that up to be vice president. And this particular documentary said that, you know, he was the one that orchestrated it so that he could become the president. You know, why would he give up being the second most powerful person as, you know, the Senate Majority Leader to become a figurehead VP, you know, that goes around to funerals and, you know, and gives flowers to people and things like that, and weddings. So that was an interesting one, too. And I'd heard when I was a kid that, you know, Jackie Kennedy had all of JFK's personal papers, I guess, locked up until 2025. And that way... anybody that was alive and would have been mentioned in his papers would be dead by then. So I guess the presidential papers, and then there's his personal papers.
Right, right. But the CIA files we were supposed to get in 2017,
right.
And they have been withheld. And you have Mike Pompeo, former head of the CIA, running around giving speeches like at Texas A&M in 2019, where he said... In the CIA, well, you know, the CIA, we lie, cheat, and steal. We have entire courses on that. You know, if someone said that in my administration or in my staff, I would fire them, if not jail them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I would look into that is not the policy of the U.S. government. Why do people not trust us? Well, maybe because the head of the CIA says we lie, cheat, and steal. I mean, that would seem to be a reason not to trust us if that's the official policy of the government of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got another article in my archives. It's called the Fourth Branch of Government, and that's the administration branch. You know, you've got the executive, the legislature, the judicial, and then the administrative branch. And these are these bureaucrats that are employed lifetime, you know, like the head of the CIA, the head of the FBI, you know, the head of the Secret Service, the head of, you know, the heads of all these departments, you know, commerce, labor, transportation, they change politically, but then their assistants and stuff are there forever. You know, they have good salaries with good government pensions. Mm-hmm. And they're really the ones that run the country, because if you look constitutionally, our government is doing a magnitude of things more than what it was designed to do. And there's no way that 535 people can oversee this huge bureaucracy that's been created. So those are the guys.
Well, just to be sort of an ironic twist, because people say, you can't have a big... I would say, no, our government is actually very weak. It's emaciated, and it's been taken over by special interests and people with money... Right. It's in effect, it's not the representative government. You're right. It's totally run by these monolithic, you know, entities like a slime mold. And that gets me to one other thing I wanted to just make sure to mention. It's now been admitted that the total derivatives obligations, which are largely held in the City of London, but Wall Street as well, are $2 quadrillion.
Wow.
Quadrillion. Okay, I suspect it's more because there really is a lot of offshore stuff that we still don't know. But take $2 quadrillion. There is no possible way that those obligations can be met. Right? It doesn't exist. If you pile up the GDP of every nation on the planet or whatever you want to pile up, they cannot be met. Which means the system must implode of its own weight at one point or another. And I will tell you, this also fuels the desperation for war, because in a major war, then you say, we can write off our obligations. There was a war. Don't worry. Don't expect us to pay. And
yeah,
that
like
is one of the what?
Yeah, just like the Vietnam War. I mean, that's when they first started talking about the military-industrial complex. You know, that war, and you know, I lost some friends in that war, and some of my friends, you know, came back from that war. They were never the same. But that war, they didn't want that war to end because everybody was making so much money off of it.
Right. And it was also a geopolitical manipulation, a game. See, if you go back to Alexander Hamilton and the United States and what Reagan was saying during the ads that you had, our nation is so needed right now, but its true identity. After the American Revolution, Hamilton had a huge argument because people said then, oh, everyone will understand, we just had this big war, we can't pay our debts. And Hamilton said, no, no, we will pay because we have to have credit. We might need to borrow money again. We have to establish our nation on this and trust again, right? This question. He had huge fights with Thomas Jefferson on this question, actually, and consolidated the debt and actually ended up making a huge profit because he worked out, Hamilton being the genius that he was, all these different kind terms of repayment, which included settling the West and, you know. But our nation was created explicitly against this big, against colonialism, against empire. It was such a beacon of hope for the world. And it was very controversial. No one had ever beaten the British Empire before, not a nation. So do you know it took a whole century before a single head of state from any other country visited the United States? People would sort of support us, but they didn't want to be seen being too friendly because they didn't know, you know, were we really going to make it? Were they going to get punished by the British Empire? It was a really big deal. And it was committed even in the 1600s, the essays of Cotton Mather, to do good, or what the pilgrims said on the Mayflower, you know, certain kinds of ideas that we will act in the interest of our brothers and sisters, that we are committed to justice, to fairness, to equality. These were the pillars of the founding of our nation. And there were problems. Slavery, they knew it was a problem, but they couldn't get rid of it in the Declaration of Independence for various reasons. But, you know, some people, they just couldn't get it through, so it came up later. But the principles of our nation were true, and that had to be destroyed above everything. And I think that was really what happened in the 60s, because it was not only the assassination of Kennedy, it was our whole identity as an industrial power, the love of scientific progress. Think about the space program or the major infrastructure he was building, huge water management. And for God's sakes, I mean, you guys just got hit by this snowstorm out there. We don't know how to manage a snowstorm in Buffalo. We still have all of our electric wirings above ground. And I mean, you know, it's kind of, we sort of lost our whole identity. We used to think we were going to not only get to the moon, but we were going to eradicate poverty worldwide, that it was a crime that any child anywhere on the planet wouldn't have clean drinking water, let alone in the United States. And then you look at what we demanded in our schools, not just that we wouldn't teach children total obscene insanities, but you wanted children to learn classical Greek and Latin and science and have read every Shakespeare play and, you know, to produce people with a quality of genius. That used to happen in public schools in the United States.
Right. Yep. Now they're teaching them about transgenderism.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they're more like little indoctrination centers. So I have a question from Michael, and I'd like you to ponder it. During our commercial, if you would mind answering when we get back. There's a question that was sent in to me while you were speaking about the nuclear war. Michael's from Niagara Falls, and he says, Dear Diane, what is the best way that I could prep for a nuclear war? Do you have any suggestions? So if you could think about that while we're at our commercial and answer that when we come back, that would be great. So we're going to go to commercial for another 4 minutes. D&D, delivering the truth to New York State and beyond. We'll be back with more.
Barefaces Legal Radio, Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bareface rights and help keep us without face diapers.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, that is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-hosts, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
Okay.
Okay,
here
we are.
Back. He's talking in there, and we
and the phone was still muted. So.
We do that often.
So anyway, yeah, we had that question from Michael to Diane.
Yeah,
how to prep for a nuclear war?
For a nuclear, well, let me just say the real only prep is to put everything you can into making sure we don't have one. Because, first of all, the bombs that we have today, and I'd recommend looking at pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki before and after they were bombed, are at least 15 times more powerful. The way the war unfolds because of this question of getting your weapons off before the other guy's missile hits you means there is no such thing as a limited nuclear war where there's just one strike. There's going to be multiple. Basically, within minutes, probably everyone's going to launch everything they have. So the kind of weapon that we have, if it were detonated, say, in Manhattan, the temperature that would be unleashed would create a firestorm of about 150 square miles of temperatures as hot as the sun. So if you are underground, you're just going to be baked like you're in an oven. And these kind of fires and what they're going to incinerate are going to send plumes of ash into the upper atmosphere above where the rain clouds are formed, which means it's not going to be rained out of the sky. This is why they talk about nuclear winter. So what people who look at this project is the northern hemisphere, where most of these things are going to be dropped, will have 70% of the sunlight blocked out for about 10 years. And in the southern hemisphere, maybe.
Yeah, so you
yeah,
think
30%.
Mount St. Helens on steroids.
Exactly. So what you're talking about is you would be lucky to be incinerated in the heart of the blast, as opposed to on Earth where maybe temperatures don't even get above freezing for decades. Now, maybe if someone were going to construct an entire city deep underground and you had all kinds of sources of life and I don't even really know, because I don't know what would be left that you could come back to. And this is why it's so unthinkable. And you know, you would hope, this is what I keep wondering, where are the whistleblowers? Are more people going to step forward to prevent such a thing from unfolding? Apparently in the 80s, there were a number of very close misses, where in one case it was a Soviet military person who just, I think Norway or someone was doing a drill, but so they launched something and the Soviets didn't know if it was real or not, and they were about to counter launch. And someone said, well, wait a minute, let's just confirm if this was real. And they confirmed it wasn't. It was a test, and so thank God we didn't have nuclear war. Well, tensions are such now, we don't even have the diplomatic channels we used to have. So even the thing being launched by accident is really, it's a very real danger. And that's partly why I think that this public service, and now, I mean, of course it's goofy, but it's also, it's very insidious, because why would you want to minimize for people what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to minimize the risk? And the other thing which people are asking, and I don't know, the Russians claimed, and I think they had it because it stopped, they had evidence that the British and the Ukrainians were going to manufacture a dirty bomb, which is not a full-out nuclear bomb, but you take depleted uranium and a bunch of nuclear waste, and you detonate it somewhere, and you destroy, you know, a few hundred square miles of livability in an area. So a dirty, a radioactive weapon. And the Russians said, we have evidence that the Brits and the Ukrainians are going to drop such a thing in Ukraine and blame it on Russia and use that as a pretext to launch a nuclear war. And they held an emergency meeting of the Security Council, and the Russians, I suspect the Russians must have presented pretty damning evidence, because they said, okay, this is not... it's not a danger anymore. They probably showed that they could prove absolutely who was doing this or something like that. But, I mean, this is just how close we have come, and you have people who are complete, total lunatics, and a lot of younger people now who don't know history, don't know geography, don't know culture, don't know anything about what happened to Hitler or Napoleon in their various invasions of Russia or the Soviet Union, and therefore saying, oh, yeah, we'll just call Putin's bluff and we can just push these people and they're going to back down. That is like the biggest miscalculation in the universe.
Yeah, Putin that rides around with no shirt on his horse because he's such a manly man. You're going to push him around, right. But, you know, in all this conversation, it takes me back to when I was a little kid. In the early 60s, we lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which was a suburb of Detroit. And, you know, this was right in the middle of the missile crisis and everything, and people were building bomb shelters, and the people across the street put in a bomb shelter. And, you know, in a kid's, you know, little boy's eyes, this is the greatest fort you could possibly have. Well, they didn't have any kids. So I was bugging my dad to build one. And, finally he goes, nope, I'm not going to build one, because... it's just like you said, you come out of that thing, and what are you coming out to? And he goes, mm-hmm. and then what about you know, all of our friends and neighbors that want to come in. We won't have enough room for them. You know, what about Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so?
Right.
And your buddy Timmy, you know. We can't let everybody in, so what are we going to do? He goes, we're better off just not having it. So, and that's what happened. But I thought it would be
wise
a
man.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so I think that probably answers this question.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words.
I mean, I would like to just say, because I don't want it to be so doom and gloom. I mean, my point is, why did I bring up the Kennedy files? Because we have a flank. We have a lever to change our nation, to get our nation back. And it may not happen through the electoral process. You may have seen what happened to my vote, for example. They stole 30,000 votes from me on television. My vote count actually went down the more votes that came in. Pretty amazing. So
yeah,
it may not happen. It was wild. But it can, the people, our form of government still gives the people an enormous amount of power, and therefore we should never be cynical about that. We should use it. We owe it to our forebears. We owe it to future generations in the world that we stand for that. Also, in reaction to the complete insanity coming from, you know, the U.S. and the U.K., what's happening in the rest of the world is actually pretty inspiring, if you ask me. I mean, you've got the African nations almost entirely refusing to go along with this sanctions on Russia, blaming them. You have this group, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, the BRICS. 17 more nations have applied to join them. What are they doing? They're talking about leaving the dollar because they can't trust us, either creating their own currency, gold reserve currencies. They're building massive infrastructure, high-speed rail, modern ports. It's an entirely new paradigm, and that's why the sanctions haven't hurt Russia. They have, and I'll tell you, the top economist in Russia right now, this young guy named Sergei Glazyev, was actually a student and collaborator of Lyndon LaRouche, and he'd be the first to tell you that. And LaRouche was the, you know, 20th century Alexander Hamilton, total genius in physical economy. So they're looking at American system, if you will, methods to stabilizing, to actually increasing production. And the Russians often say, well, the sanctions, yeah, they were hard, but they made us stronger because we decided we were just going to have to produce various things ourselves. And we were going to have to form new relations with other countries. So you have incredible Turkey and Syria. Did you see this? They just came up with an agreement over how to handle the Kurds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, it's the Philippines and China. They're not going to have a war now. We were trying to get them to have a war. They're not going to have a war now. So our insanity is driving everyone else to become grown-ups.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
There's so much that goes on in other areas of the world. A lot of that you can see on Telegram. There's a lot that goes on there that, you know, the mainstream media doesn't talk about. And there is. There's a lot of upheaval. You know, not just with the war issues, but with the vaccine issues, with lockdown issues.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are fighting back now, more than ever.
Yes, and this is why I think it's so urgent that we really think big, because this whole damn system is going to come down. So I think we have to not think of just how all of our rights have been infringed sort of in the small, but say, well, what should we really be doing? What should our nation really have? And you know, I'm a huge advocate for nuclear power. I think we need about 500 new large nuclear power plants, which will take a while to build. So we're going to have to build small ones and coal and gas and everything like that. But also modern rail, modern transportation. Our transportation grid is insanely primitive. Our water management system, you know, the American Society for Civil Engineers does these report cards every year, and I think we're like at C- and D+ on our bridges, dams, roads. People are spending, I forget what, I read somewhere something like the average is $1,600 a year in car repairs because the roads are in bad shape. Something
yeah.
like that. You know, so could we fix these things? Of course we could. If we weren't sending $100 billion to Nazis in Ukraine who want to, you know, provoke a nuclear war with Russia on our behalf, of course we could. Could we find the money to pay the nurses? You know, there's about to be a nursing strike, and they're canceling elective surgery and trying to get people out. Why? Because the nurses are being totally overloaded. They're telling them to handle huge numbers of patients, and also they fired everyone who wouldn't get vaccinated, and, you know. So how can they claim they care about health when they're shutting down hospitals right and left and giving a nurse in the intensive care unit two or three patients as opposed to one, which is what it used to be? And, you know, so these, it's not like we don't know how to solve the problems. We have people, mostly older, probably mostly in their 60s and 70s, who might have to be called on an emergency basis to create a skilled workforce or a military, you know. Go ahead.
They're talking with the trades, you know, electricians, mechanics, carpenters, plumbers. You know, in the next 10 years, all of them will be retired, and there'll be huge shortages of them. You know, so you don't need to go to college and get a degree in lesbian studies or something like that, or basket weaving. You know, go to a trade school. You'll make tons of money and have no student loan debt.
Right. Yes, exactly. And we desperately need that. And we can see, the point is, we can do that. And people say, well, young people don't want to work. Well, maybe they don't want to work in Quick Check. Maybe they would be pretty damn excited about building a huge new bridge or a huge storm surge barrier or something where they're going to have something to point to that say, hey, I built this, you know, tell their children and grandchildren, I did this, I built this.
Right, and we really need to get back more into that home economics, I think, state of mind. So I wanted to shift gears a little bit before we run out of time. Tell us about your quest for Senate in 2024.
Sure. Well, I announced right away because it was so clear to me that my campaign against Schumer had upset so many people. And this is one of the things they do, and you see it now with Twitter, right? Was there any difference between Twitter and the FBI and CENTCOM of the military? I don't know. It looks like they had the entire same crew of people now, we know, from Elon Musk. So they want to make you feel like you're the fringe, which is why I think I couldn't figure out why they would steal my vote publicly. You know what I'm saying? It was really weird. I have a whole set of screenshots showing it going from 55,000 down to 25,000 votes, not percent, excepting to demoralize people. So first I had to get the 45,000 signatures to get on the ballot. I was the only person in the state who did that. We turned in 66,000 signatures. I got on the ballot. Then Schumer refused to debate me. Then, you know, it was just one insult after the next, which indicated to me that clearly I had a lot more power than they wanted to admit, because otherwise they wouldn't try so very hard to stop me from being heard or be in the debates or anything like that. So therefore, I thought I should definitely announce right away and begin causing trouble for the right people. And Gillibrand, frankly, is perfect. She is up to her eyeballs in the plan for this global cryptocurrency. She's very much involved in that, got big donations from what's-his-face, Sam Bankman-Fried, and I think gave those back, but she's on this bill where they're talking about regulating it, but it's not really to regulate it. It's to create a crypto, global cryptocurrency, starting with a national cryptocurrency where you think it's bad enough they can seize your bank account. I mean, they would run everything. They'd know everything you spend, everything. There's also other questions about her.
There's rumors that they want to have that done by 2024. With the
I'm sure they'd like to.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd like to. I think the American people aren't going to.
Not only did they steal your votes, they got rid of your political party. You're not allowed to have an independent party anymore because they thought it was a independent with a T instead of a C-E. So you're not allowed to be in the Independence Party.
You're not allowed to use the word. You're not allowed to use the word. And they had legislation, I don't know if it passed, saying you're not allowed to use the word American or something. They're really, it's really, that was the other thing, my billboard. So I paid thousands of dollars to have these billboards in Manhattan, and I wanted the billboard to say, stop blaming Putin and look in the mirror, and have a picture of Chuck Schumer in a mirror. And they said, you're not allowed to use the word Putin. And I said, what? I'm paying for this. It says paid for by... And then they said, and by the way, let us just tell you, you're not allowed to use the word Russia, China, or North Korea, or Iran, or so. I mean, we are so far in a dictatorship. So, I mean, that's really why I am running, declared, actually have raised over the threshold now, which is $5,000. It's not a big one, but that makes you an official candidate where you officially have to file with the FEC. I have done that. So I am an official declared recognized candidate for 2024. Again, running independent. I would consider if the Republican Party had the guts to even consider nominating me, also doing that, but I don't think it will happen. It's very, very controlled. And frankly, I think people are getting really fed up with the parties. I mean, you just see it. They are so much in on it. They work together to triple the signature requirements. That wasn't one party or the other. That was both of them.
Right.
Including
right.
close cooperation between the working families and the Conservative Party, which people from inside both those parties told me. So everyone thinks, oh, yeah, the working families and the Conservative. No, they're all working together to make sure you don't have a voice.
Right. And, you know, working families is a nice, catchy name. It should actually be the Socialist Party of New York. But they call it the working families because we all are workers, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I think, you know, the early 20th century, a lot of bad things happened. They formed the IRS. Another big one that would affect you was, I believe it was the 17th Amendment, which made the U.S. senators elected by the people. So what they did was they politicized
right.
the U.S. Senate. Before that, for the listeners that don't know history that much, it was the state legislatures that elected the senators. So, you know, 2-3 terms, if you hadn't gotten your stuff done by then, you had enough time. There were younger guys that were chomping at the bit. So the legislature, you'd have a lot more turnover. You wouldn't have these guys that are in office for 50 years and stuff.
Right.
So now what you've got is you've got two people's houses. You've got, you know, the people's house, the House of Representatives, the traditional one, and you've got the people's house as the Senate, too, because it's all politicized. They've essentially done the same thing in New York State. The state senators are twice the number of the assemblymen. About 100 years ago, about the same time, there was one state senator per county. Could you imagine our state senate if it was one state senator per county? It would be we'd be as red could be, and you would be a U.S. senator.
Right. Right. That's right. Yes, that's a nice thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need more people like you. We really do appreciate you joining us tonight. As usual, you are a plethora of information. And, you know, we had a lot of listeners tonight, a lot of callers listening in. You know, people are interested in this. And, you know, people need to be educated on this. You know, they have to know what's going on. And
yes, well, I really want to plug this meeting on Sunday, the 8th. Of January, this Sunday at 2:00, and you have to RSVP and get the Zoom link because it won't be live streamed, because I want to be able to talk about various matters that I will get deplatformed for talking about. So it's Sarah for Senate, SARE for Senate.com under events.
Okay. Yeah, and then I get your email, so all you have to do is just sign up.
Oh, good.
Your email, and you'll be sure that you get on her email list. And just if you want to mention your Facebook page so people know where to go for that.
Yeah, it's Sarah for Senate with the number 4, I think. But if you look Diane Sayre, I have a personal page and I have a politician page that you can find me, D-I-A-N-E-S-A-R-E, and I'm also on Twitter, and that's just Diane Sayre. And I'm on Telegram, but I have to say I haven't done that much. And then I started TikTok. Actually, a Buffalo friend said, you should really get on TikTok. And I said, oh, I find it so offensive. Every time you go on there, there's these fat people naked doing things. I just don't want to see it. And they said, no, you really have to. So I did, and I had over 10,000 followers really quickly. I had a video that went over 400,000. But now I have three strikes. They've taken down three of my videos, and I'm about to be thrown off. So I've been a little more careful. I haven't used it as much. I probably should go back to it, but boy, are they censoring.
Far right, or far left, that's for sure, far right. Okay. So once the link is up, I'll be sure I email this and send it to you, and it'll be on our Facebook page. It'll be on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Freedomizer Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Diane, it was such a pleasure to have you on again tonight. We're getting ready to wrap up the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just would like to thank you so much. Thank you for what you do and having the courage to stand up against the forces of the public opinion, and I would encourage everybody to join this fight. Don't be on the sidelines. The enemies of our nation do not have the power. They wouldn't have to go to such censorship if they had it under control. So I think we could be closer to getting a real change than they're not going to announce in the New York Times that we're about to win. I'll put it that way.
Right. Yeah. Not ever. Yeah, right. Or the Washington Post. Never.
No, the Washington
right.
Compost.
Right.
I'm from the D.C.
Right.
area, so
okay. So anyway, next week we're supposed to have on Rita Palmer and John Gilmore from the Children's Health Defense or Autism Action Network. So I'm going to follow up on them. And I'm trying to think of what other shows we have this week.
Chitawaga.
Oh, yeah, end of the month, Chitawaga Republican Committee. And the 19th, I'm trying to get that lady on that's real educated on the chemtrails. So watch our Facebook page for our events. We'll be getting them up there. Diane, again, thank you so much for joining us. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, I think we're getting ready to sign out. But I did want to just share this thing that somebody sent to me when we were sitting here about McCarthy. I guess he lost on his 10th round. And I guess they're saying that Trump is going to try to run for Speaker of the House.
Well, you know, that way if Uncle Joe dies and they get rid of Kamala, then the Speaker of the House is the number three in line.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, Kamala, no way, you know, it's bad enough. Joe's like Weekend at Bernie's.
I know, right.
You know, I wonder who... Soros must have a long fingers to get work his mouth for have his hand up his butt, you know, and work his mouth.
He's part of the whole New World Order central bank system.
You're right.
So they have a lot, and you know, as we know, he's got his hands in the NFL too. So we don't know. So anyway, we're getting ready to shine out. Stay tuned for Bareface is Legal.
Okay.
Right? Bareface is Legal is next. So good night, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. You can listen to this podcast again. We'll have it up on our Facebook page, iHeartRadio, Freedomizer Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. We're signing up. I'm Diana.
I'm Dean.
And we're delivering the truth.
In
and
New
we're
York.
Going to bed. No.
Yeah.
We're going to sleep.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Have
good
a good
night.
Weekend.
We'll see you next week.